This week on the Electronic Intifada podcast, Israel's top court rejects the appeals of two Palestinian prisoners who have been on hunger strike in Israeli jail for more than 70 days. We'll have up-to-date coverage of the ongoing hunger strike protests by the thousands of Palestinian prisoners as the international media continues to refuse to take notice. Israeli forces raid the Ramallah offices of the grassroots Stop the Wall campaign, stealing computers and hard drives. Plus, in news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, the new French president says that the boycott of Israeli goods is, quote, illegal, yet a Paris court acquits more BDS activists and rules that it cannot be deemed incitement to discrimination to call for the boycott of a state. And we speak with our correspondents Asa Wynn-Stanley and Lina Al-Safin in the West Bank about the protests in support of the hunger strikes across Palestine, the Palestinian Authority's reaction, and Asa's report on four brothers in one family who are currently all in Israeli prison. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor for the Electronic Intifada in Berkeley. We continue with our ongoing coverage of the Palestinian hunger strikes inside Israeli jails. As thousands of Palestinian prisoners remain on hunger strike to protest Israel's practices of administrative detention, indefinite imprisonment without charge or trial, and lack of basic human rights inside and outside of prison, the health situations for many prisoners continues to worsen. Meanwhile, the Israeli High Court has rejected the appeals of two hunger strikers this week that challenged the detention orders that were based on so-called secret evidence. The Palestinian human rights and prisoner advocacy organization Ad-Damir issued a dire warning on Tuesday on the conditions of Thaher Halahla and Bilal Diab, who have been on hunger strike for more than 70 days and are at immediate risk of death. Halahla and Diab have been on hunger strike in protest of being held in administrative detention, a practice which is a prominent feature of the Israeli occupation's regime of arrest and detention. Halahla is reported to have stopped drinking water and taking medicine on his 70th day of hunger strike. The Electronic Intifada's Maureen Murphy commented on Tuesday that, quote, by rejecting the appeal despite the judge's reservations about the state's case against Halahla and Diab, the court demonstrated its complicity with the Israeli occupation's regime of military courts and detention orders based on secret evidence not revealed to detainees or their counsel. Ad-Damir noted, quote, nevertheless, the High Court judges do not give this matter consideration when deciding to refuse the petition so as not to interfere with the decision of the military commander signing their administrative detention orders. Ad-Damir also reported that an urgent appeal submitted by Physicians for Human Rights Israel demanding that Bilal Diab immediately receive a family visit while he is still able to communicate was rejected. Meanwhile, Hassan Safadi, who on Tuesday was on his 65th day of hunger strike in protest of administrative detention, received his first independent doctor's visit, during which it was confirmed that Safadi, quote, was forcefully injected with fluids containing salt, glucose, and other minerals last week, and that the man is currently in critical condition. Several other political prisoners who are more than a month into their hunger strikes have yet to receive independent doctor visits. The prisoners' rights group adds that the Israeli prison service is punishing those participating in the mass hunger strike, which is now into its 24th day after it was launched on Palestinian Prisoners' Day, April 17th. Amnesty International estimates that more than 300 Palestinians are currently held by Israeli forces in administrative detention. The Electronic Intifada's Ali Abonima reported on Monday that within the Israeli High Court's rejection of Diab and Halahla's appeals, the judges also appeared to send a signal that Israeli authorities should find a way not to let the men die in custody. Quote, a key section of the ruling, which is in Hebrew, demonstrates the deference the High Court pays to Israel's undemocratic, secretive, and unaccountable security services and exposes the myth that Israel's highest court is a guarantor of basic rights. Abonima continued, the judges sheepishly suggest alterations to what they recognize is a procedure, administrative detention, that causes, quote, discomfort, but they are totally unprepared to impose any decision on Israel's all-powerful police state security services. To see the full relevant text of the appeal's rejection and for more on some of the Palestinian political prisoners currently on hunger strike, visit our blog section on electronicintifada.net. There you can also read our correspondent Lina Al-Safin's Dying to Live, Stories of Our Hunger Strikers. And for an idea of what hunger strikers go through when they make the extraordinary choice to sacrifice their lives for freedom, read Shahid Abusalama's translation of a diary being kept by Loai Oda, a former political prisoner who went on hunger strike in Israeli prison last year and is undertaking a solidarity strike along with others in Gaza City. As Maureen Murphy writes, quote, in contrast to the complicit silence of the so-called international community, Palestinians have not forgotten the national heroes inside the prisons and are showing their support for them in the streets, end quote. We now go to the occupied West Bank, where our reporter Asa Wynn-Stanley has been covering stories on prisoners and the solidarity protests in support of the hunger strikers as well. Asa, tell us about the two stories you published with us this week. You profiled one family who has four sons currently in Israeli prison. And then on Wednesday, Palestinians effectively shut down the Ramallah offices of the United Nations to protest the agency's inaction over the hunger strikers. Talk about that protest first. What happened and how has the UN responded, if they've responded at all?
Yesterday morning, early from about 7:30, a group of Palestinian activists, including some family members of prisoners on hunger strike, blockaded the UN building, the main UN building in Ramallah. They blocked the main gate and the main entrance until the end of the working day, and they prevented employees from... They essentially closed down the UN building for the day in protest at the UN's inaction over the Palestinian hunger strikers.
How has the UN responded, if it's responded at all?
They did put out a response. I saw a tweet on their official Twitter feed where they were sort of, they used the hashtag that was being used, UN closed, and they said, this is what we've said, and they posted some links to some fairly weak statements that they'd put out expressing concern about the hunger strikers and so on and so forth, but there was then sort of avalanche of replies by activists saying that it was not enough, essentially. What seems to be happening to me is activists are trying new diverse tactics, and this morning there was a similar action at the ICRC building, the International Committee of the Red Cross, Red Crescent building in Ramallah, and there was a similar action closing it down for, I've just been told it was closed for about half of the day. So the activists and the prisoners' families are trying different things to keep it on the prisoners' hunger strike on the agenda. While I've been here in Ramallah, I've been seeing different things going on Twitter, reports online back from London, for example, of demonstrations outside Downing Street. There was a report yesterday of a similar action outside a UN building in Amman in Jordan, and there was talk of doing a similar action in Geneva as well. And there seems to be attempts around in different places around the world to express solidarity with the prisoners' hunger strikes.
Asa, can you talk about the story that you covered for us a few days ago about the one family that you met with four of their sons in Israeli prisons?
Yeah, I first heard about the Halabi family when I first arrived to this particular trip on Palestine about a month and a half ago, and it just seemed a really kind of tragic story and really emblematic. The family has all four of its sons in Israeli prisons, and essentially they're under arrest. Two have been charged and two are still facing charges, and the two that have been charged are facing years in prison. And they're essentially being charged for activism, for student activism in Bazet University, and being involved in a student activist group, which the Israelis allege has links to the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. And the main activities of this group seems to have been organizing Palestinian solidarity with the prisoners and the hunger strike. So it seems the crackdown on this family in particular seems to be part of the overall Israeli effort to stop the wider Palestinian society forming and being involved in solidarity with the prisoners and giving them hope from outside, and that they've got the support of the wider community and the wider Palestinian people.
Also joining us in this discussion is our correspondent Lina Al-Safin. Lina, talk about what you witnessed today in El Bireh in Ramallah and the solidarity protests that are happening and the crackdown by the Palestinian Authority.
Today, for the first time, the PA President Mahmoud Abbas decided to visit the solidarity tent, the prisoner solidarity tent in El Bireh. Now, there are two solidarity tents set up for the prisoners. There's one in the city center of Ramallah at Clock Square, and there's one opposite the Bireh municipality. Now, the one at Clock Square is where most of the prisoners' families go to on a daily basis, and they spend long hours there holding up framed pictures of their sons and husbands and brothers. The solidarity tent opposite the Bireh municipality has gained a reputation for being the official tent where the ministers and other official people go and sit for a few minutes just so the media could cover them and say that yes, they are with the prisoners. After 73 days, Mahmoud Abbas finally goes to this official tent in the Bireh, and a group of people decided to take advantage of this event. I guess Asa probably mentioned this earlier, but I don't know if he mentioned that I was part of that group. Anyway, we went in and we unfurled posters. Some of them had very neutral slogans, such as "Hunger Striking for Freedom." Others called out Abbas for his silence. As soon as we unfurled the posters, the tent was crawling with security forces and thugs. When we held up our posters, they immediately ripped them to pieces. They stood on chairs so they can block us from view. And when we chanted chants for the prisoners, they tried to drown us out with their own chants, which were pro Abbas. And there were also one of the thugs hit a girl and he cussed her out. And they were threatening us and they were jeering at us. But then we started chanting, and the mothers of the prisoners got behind us, and they started chanting too. Basically, we decided that we had enough because the intelligence and the PA security forces and the thugs, they were all around us, and we felt that we made our message. Our message got through, and so we left. It was very depressing to see how these people, they claimed to be representatives of the Palestinian people, how they acted towards the prisoners' families and towards us. Abbas only said the speech for 10 minutes, and he only spent 10 minutes at the tent and left. He didn't even shake the hands of the mothers of the prisoners who were waiting for him, who probably came from the furthest villages, not just from around Ramallah, but from the entire West Bank. He didn't even ask them how they were doing. There was none of this. He just said his speech and he left. We hope that we made the point today. The last few days have seen an increase in solidarity protests. I shouldn't call them solidarity, I should call them protests in support for the prisoners, mostly in Ramallah. There was a protest on Tuesday that took place in front of the PA compound in Muqata, and protesters managed to shut down the main street using their own bodies. They sat down in a horizontal line on the street and holding up posters and pictures of the prisoners, and they chanted also for the prisoners. And then the march kind of moved towards the city center around the Manara Square, where the protesters also managed to shut down that street. I think with this escalation, I think it's a bit too late. It shouldn't have come after 73 days. It should have started in the first week or second week, first month of Bilal Diab and Farhat Ahmad's hunger strike. But I'm hoping that these events will have a snowball effect, and we will actually achieve to some extent some moderate success in helping to release those prisoners.
That was the voice of Lina Al-Safin, and before her was Asa Wynn-Stanley, both reporting from the West Bank. For more on the hunger strikes, visit electronicintifada.net. Also in Ramallah this week, the grassroots Stop the Wall campaign reported that its offices had been ransacked and computer equipment was stolen by Israeli soldiers on Tuesday morning. Stop the Wall is at the forefront of unarmed resistance actions against Israel's illegal wall and settlements in the West Bank. The group's coordinator, Jamal Juma, stated, quote, "It is not surprising that the Israeli authorities have chosen this moment to escalate the repression against Stop the Wall grassroots network of civil resistance against the wall and the settlements, choosing to act on the same day that the Israeli High Court rejected the appeals of Palestinian hunger strikers Bilal Diab and Thaher Halahla, imprisoned without charge and without trial, effectively condemning them to death," end quote. For the complete statement by Stop the Wall, visit electronicintifada.net/blogs. In news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, Ali Abonima reported that French President-elect François Hollande has told a Jewish community publication that he opposes the boycott of Israeli goods, even apparently from Israeli settlements in occupied territories, and considers such boycotts, quote, illegal. Hollande, who defeated incumbent French President Nicolas Sarkozy over the weekend, also promised to visit Israel as president and echoed hardline Israeli lobby rhetoric about Iran. His statements, published in the Tribune Juive, Jewish Tribune, on May 1st, contrast sharply with the decisions of French judges who, on May 3rd, acquitted another group of French activists on charges related to calling for the boycott of Israeli goods. In that significant victory for the BDS movement in France, the criminal court near Paris ruled that it cannot be deemed, quote, incitement to discrimination to call for the boycott of a state as opposed to a specific population group. This legal victory follows a similar acquittal of 12 activists in eastern France last December. However, it is only the latest in a series of trials aimed to suppress the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement in France. Three more activists faced trial in the southern city of Perpignan on May 24th. French activists have developed a distinctive form of protest, undertaking de-shelving actions at supermarkets all over the country to protest the sale of Israeli goods, especially those from illegal colonies in the occupied West Bank. Meanwhile, the Electronic Intifada reported that Columbia University professor Catherine Frank has officially joined the academic boycott of Israel and will not speak at the Equality Forum, an annual conference that chooses a nation to highlight and discuss its culture and policies towards LGBTQ individuals. This year's selected country is Israel, and Michael Oren, the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., will be the keynote speaker. In a statement and video published on the Gender and Sexuality Law blog of Columbia Law School, Professor Frank made a very public declaration of solidarity with Palestinians and support for the Palestinian call for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel. In her statement, Frank highlights the group Palestinian Queers for BDS for organizing solidarity from LGBTQ communities internationally. She said, quote, "While it may seem natural for gays to side with Israel, after all they have such good gay rights laws, this support reflects a major weakness of so many human rights movements that tend to prioritize their own struggles without considering the ways in which all forms of discrimination are linked. In Israel-Palestine, gay rights and human rights more broadly are necessarily connected to one another, and treating one domestic minority well does not excuse or diminish the immorality of the state's other rights-abridging policies. Had South Africa enacted good gay rights laws during the apartheid era, no one would have seen that as excusing their treatment of black and colored people. For this reason, I have chosen to honor PQBDS's request that we boycott the Equality Forum," Frank stated. And finally, Football Beyond Borders, a student-led international organization which, quote, "uses the universal power of football to tackle political, social, and cultural issues," has issued a letter of solidarity with the thousands of Palestinian prisoners currently on hunger strike in Israeli jails. In a press release sent to the Electronic Intifada, a spokesperson with Football Beyond Borders noted that members of a delegation of theirs who traveled to Palestine last year are standing in solidarity with the Palestinian prisoners on hunger strike. Their statement of solidarity and support, which was released Tuesday, was sent concurrently to the Israeli Prison Service, the Military Advocate General, Israel's Minister of Defense, and the Israeli Ambassador to the UK. The statement focused on the critical situation with Mahmoud Sarsak, a footballer on the Palestinian national team who was arrested and detained by Israeli forces in 2009 and has been in administrative detention ever since. Sarsak, as our correspondent Rami Al-Megari recently reported on the Electronic Intifada, is one of the approximately 2,000 Palestinian prisoners who have joined a collective hunger strike, many of whom are facing grave physical conditions. Sarsak was hospitalized a few weeks ago. Along with this strong statement of solidarity, Football Beyond Borders also officially announced that it would be boycotting the Union of European Football Associations 2013 Under-21 European Championships, which is set to be hosted by Israel. In June 2011, dozens of Palestinian athletic clubs sent a letter to the head of UEFA in protest of their decision to let Israel host the 2013 games. Al-Megari added in his report on SARSAC that the letter cited the football star's arbitrary detention, quote, as one of the many abuses Israel carries out against the Palestinian athletic community. For more on the global BDS movement, visit electronicintifada.net/tags/BDS. And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, analysis, and action alerts by our team of correspondents and bloggers, to send comments and to sign up for our daily newsletter, please visit us online at www.electronicintifada.net. You can also follow us on Twitter @Intifada. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.